You are listening to the Daily Best of Rick and Bubba.
This is 1 hour of fun from the show this morning.
Don't worry, you can still catch the entire show on your favorite podcast app.
And you can watch the Daily Best of Rick and Bubba on Blaze TV.
Enjoy the Daily Best of Rick and Bubba.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
It is 7.5 minutes past the hour. Welcome to the Rick and Bubba Show. You ready to go? Let's get it. Speedy, the real Greg Burgess, Helmsy have already given you a kickoff hour on all the Rick and Bubba platforms. Eddie Van Adler settles in for the YouTube experience, live and archived. He's ready to go again today. He draws back like a flip. Moultrie will come in again today. I know some of you are saying, Rick, we didn't get much of a break from Match Moultrie. You're right, you didn't. That was day before yesterday. He's back again today. We'll unpack some stories. We'll tell you the latest going on, and we'll give you yet another opportunity to match Moultrie. Rick and Bubba University, the podcast, a brand new one, but will be recorded today. That will come out this weekend. So we'll tell you a little more about that as you prep for that today. Yesterday's archive from our walk through the Revelation and our Wednesday Bible study, that archive is now available to you. It was a very, very powerful day yesterday. We get it on the list to grab at your convenience if you haven't already done so. Across the way, there he sits, the pride of Cedar Springs, Alabama. But most of you probably know him best as the Silver Tongue One. The man with a golden voice, professional lunch eater's man of the year, the inventor of pizza and a cup, Shakespeare's worst nightmare, and the master of the Kang's English. Ladies and gentlemen, let's put our hands together for Bill Bubba Bussett! Howdy, Bubba.
How about it, Rick Burgess? Friends, neighbors, and associates everywhere. Welcome in to America's favorite radio show.
Yes.
It's a discussion on the back porch about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It is Rick and Bubba.
Come on in. Never fail to satisfy. Say it again.
Yeah, about it.
That should have been the theme song for participation trophies.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone's a winner, baby. That's the truth.
That's the truth.
You're talking about the great hot chocolate?
The great hot chocolate. Mm. So you were
talking. Well, they were hot for a while there, wasn't it?
Had a couple hits.
Yeah, they did. A couple of big
about
ones.
Two.
About it. That's about it.
And you remember.
But they were biggies.
The albums we talk about it all the time used to buy that had different artists on it. Yep. We had one that had that.
Yep.
You remember K-Tail? That was a record company.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
It was one of the many on there.
Yep. So hot chocolate, often overlooked. But
Sound Explosion was the name of the record.
Yeah. How about this, but Greg? But rarely underappreciated on this show.
Rarely.
When you use the phrase describing coming out, it's so funny. After you've heard me say this before, and that's always my line to my wife when I'm giving her the breakdown of the day. Now what are you doing tomorrow? I said, well, I'll start the day doing America's Favorite Radio Show. and she'll just roll her eyes. Here's another thing I wanted to bring up to you all.
Why is she rolling her eyes?
Just fine. Yeah. she said, so all of America loves you. I said, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I said, the only people don't love us, they say family shit.
That's it.
How different when we all, even within our own state, if you grew up in a different place, there's certain phrases you use perfect example when you're talking about the youngsters talking about calling out versus calling in.
Yeah, I'm still very disturbed
calling out
by that.
And this is something that I've noticed, and I've watched it now for 27 years, and there's been no variation on it. So I'm going to ask you guys a question because three of us are from Calhoun County, okay? And we'll see if Speedy might have a different, Adler might have a different, and Helms is getting coffee or hanging out with Moultrie. When someone's got a cut that looks like it might need some medical attention, we say that looks like that might need
stitches.
Okay. Bubba? Would you say stitches?
I would.
Ooh.
You're talking about if it's I'm cut, you go, ooh, you may need stitches on that. Yeah.
Okay, everybody's saying stitches. Do you say stitches?
Yeah, what are you saying? Instead of sutures or something?
No.
Probably
Sherry always goes singular. Oh, that might need a stitch.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, no. I'd say plural.
Stitches.
I said, baby, it's stitches.
Mm-hmm.
She goes, well, that's what I'm saying. I said, no, that's not what you're saying. You're saying
stitch means just one.
That's just one. That's just one. Uh-huh. You mean it's a tiny cut? But she says it to any time there's something that may need stitches. Oh, you may need a stitch. And I'm like, baby, we don't say it that way. We always say, oh, man, that might need stitches.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Well, that's that Tennessee Valley.
Is that what it is? Is it TVA?
That's it.
Is that the Tennessee Valley Authority?
So.
You know, she's from a lake town. You got to watch these lake town people.
Yeah.
Stitch? Do other people say that? Oh, I might need a stitch.
I've always said
27
stitches.
Years.
I've always said
she
stitches.
Did it the other day when I came home with the, you know, after I ran into the glass. Oh, you should have got a stitch. And I'm like, baby, you mean stitches?
You should have got a stitch.
And I said, no, it doesn't need – it doesn't make – you know.
So she puts A in front of it.
There's only one time. Stitch. Most of the time it is multiple stitches.
Right. That's what I always say.
The only
plural.
Time I –
If one will do it, don't even worry about getting it.
Yeah, just get a butterfly.
Yeah.
So I'm Greg, again, don't think that it varies or she's making it that way because the cut's small. She says it about any cut that might need attention.
Yeah. So it could be just gaping hole.
Yeah, I'm like, stitches. We say stitches. So I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. No?
She just looks at me like, yeah, right. No, you're saying a stitch. What are you? You're making me something? Or are you fixing a place on my pants? You know,
that makes more sense.
Yeah. The only way I could think of it making sense is like if a doctor said, I'm going to have to perform a stitch and used it like a verb.
Yeah.
But I don't even know if they do that.
Okay. So, you want a recent example of the singular?
Yeah. So everybody in here says stitches, right?
I have.
Yes. Say stitches.
Yes. Okay.
So. In the hospital,
mm-hmm.
you have a drain
after
surgery.
Here we go.
Wow.
And I asked him about taking it out, and he said, I got a stitch holding it in place.
Oh. Okay.
That's the only time I've
but
ever
But he's only
it,
maybe happened
that's
one.
Inside. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I see.
No, it was out, but it was holding it in there.
I see.
Don't
I'm glad
let
you brought that
out.
Up.
Well, thanks for bringing up your drain tube.
I know.
I don't like the word.
I didn't want to do it, but I was giving you exactly. That's the only time I remember hearing it.
When you got a drain tube, things have gone south.
Well, it's
or just
it's not the best day. It's not the best day.
But he did use it singular, but he meant because it was just one.
Yeah.
Yeah,
how about when they pull that out? It feels really weird.
But Sherry uses it for any gaping wound.
Yeah, I always say stitches.
Yeah,
maybe that's the way
you
like
need
smart
some stitches.
People. Maybe that's the way smart people say
yeah,
it.
Could
and
be.
That's why we all say it's stitches.
It could be. She is very well read.
Then there's also Greg's favorite song by Shawn Mendes, "Stitches," of course.
Yeah, you know how I love.
Who is Shawn Mendes?
Shawn Mendes, yes.
And of course, his other favorite song, "Patches."
Right.
Now that is one of my favorites.
Patches.
We'll be back.
Rick and Bubba. Rick and Bubba.
Tim Tebow coming up later in the program. Happy birthday today to the one and only Coach Bill Burgess, Bullet, and Billy, as his the people who grew up with him. There's all kinds of nicknames Dad has had over the years.
He's had a few.
Yeah, he's had a few nicknames. So anyway, Dad is 82 today.
Happy birthday, Coach.
82. So happy birthday, Dad, and thank you. As we said, the influence you've had on us, your children, but also the influence you've had on so many people all over the place. We hear about it all the time. What a legacy. And, you know, people throw the word one of a kind around a lot. In this case, there is zero exaggeration. As Greg has said many times, and I agree, everybody thinks their dad can beat up everybody else. We were actually correct.
Yeah.
So anyway, happy birthday, Dad.
Happy birthday, 82.
82 today. So we've got some, I guess we got some spillover from yesterday. I guess we're going to hear it in their own words. Do you want to hit these other two Biden clips before we get to Schiff and McCarthy?
Let's start with the president. We'll work our way over to Congress.
So what is, Adler, help me on video 1A. What is the reason we're playing this? What is this about?
This is just a gaffe. This is just Biden can't speak.
Okay. But those are my favorite. So,
yeah.
And he's saying that. Oh, I see. He's saying Ukraine's brutal aggression.
Yeah.
He gets the countries confused.
He does.
All right. So here is the latest gaffe, and there's so many, from our current president, Biden. He kind of gets the war with Ukraine and Russia. He gets things out of order. Here we go.
I can't look.
All right, hang on. That's on me, Adler. All right. Try it again.
All to help counter Ukraine's brutal aggression.
that's happening because of Russia. All to help counter Ukraine's brutal aggression that's happening because of Russia.
Y'all taught me to do this. Please look at the people who are standing behind
him. I can't look. I just got to be honest with you. I can't look.
The people behind him have this look in their face.
He was trying to say the brutal aggression against the Ukraine or happening in the Ukraine because of Russia.
Yeah,
but he doesn't
say that. All to help counter Ukraine's brutal aggression.
Ukraine's brutal aggression.
That's happening because of Russia.
This man is dead inside. This man is absolutely dead inside.
That guy, if you read his face.
That's the Secretary of Defense guy.
If you read the Secretary of Defense's face, he's like, did he just say that Ukraine? And he has that look on his face, like Adler said, that he's dead inside. He's almost like, how much longer must we endure this? Can we find some more classified documents?
That's the Secretary of Defense guy.
Yeah. I mean, don't you know he's thinking that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So anyway, he gets it wrong. He now has Ukraine as the brutal aggressor.
Now, here's one of the funnier
ones. He also did
ones,
the 2-second eye close thing.
Yes.
That was much worse than I thought today. Yeah. He's really coming apart.
Check out this next 22 seconds. See how this one hits you.
Mm. Okay. I have no intention of letting the Republicans wreck our economy, nor does anybody around this table, in my view. Now, again, we're going to speak about continuing our support for Ukraine, and it's an idea that has bipartisan support, like some of what we passed had bipartisan support. Mm-hmm. And I have no intention of letting the Republicans wreck our economy.
I have no intention of letting the Republicans wreck our economy.
Right.
That's pretty much wrecked.
That's good. That's a good one.
That is.
He should have saved that one for the correspondence dinner when he does his stand up.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's going to be good.
That is as political a statement as I've heard in recent time. The other parties who's wrecking the economy. Now, of course, we're the ones who have implemented all the things that wrecked it.
Yeah.
And when they had their way, we actually had a booming economy. But I don't think you as Americans will take time to research that. So I'm just going to say
Do you think somebody's going to throw a party for the State of the Union and you know, like mm-hmm. a drinking party on gaffes for mm-hmm. the State of the Union or something?
Mm-hmm. You could throw a heck of a party. We're not doing it on Pops today. We'd all be slightly inebriated.
Yeah, we would
be.
You're right.
By the way, if these Pops were actual live rounds, we'd all be dead. Okay, but so the
if these Pops were bullets, the Ukraine would be winning the war.
The president saying I'm not gonna, or anybody around this table is gonna let the Republicans wreck the economy. It'd be like you showing up down at my place and Gary walking up and saying, "Let me tell you something. I ain't gonna let nobody pull no pranks."
Yeah, you know, absolutely, exactly.
This is just lunacy, and I've noticed right now, and I think we've all picked up on it on various sound bites now that we have so many. He has his good days and bad days. You can tell when he's got more clarity than he has on other days, and the swing is substantial. There are times like when he did the thing about Ukraine just a minute ago where you don't think he can get through the day.
Right.
This thing with the Republicans is still kind of wacky, but it's a little more coherent than the
political.
Other.
It's just comical.
But the thing he does, he trails off. You know what I mean? He chews his words up and he trails and he can't quite finish it. So anyway. All right. So now
Sundowners.
Yes.
Sundowner syndrome.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
Seeing that firsthand. So, all right. So Adam Schiff.
Okay, so over to Congress. We talked about this,
Rick.
He's mad. And our next four clips all have to do with this. The fact that Adam Shifty Shift and Eric Swalwell has been taken off the Intelligence Committee. And the Speaker of the House has reasons for doing that. Mm-hmm. And we covered that yesterday. But let's listen to it in their own words.
So we'll start with Adam Schiff pouting. That's
Shifty
our first.
Schiff.
So here is Shifty Schiff pouting about being kicked off this committee.
Congressman Adam Schiff, and we want to briefly address the Speaker's decision to remove Mr. Swalwell and myself from the Intelligence Committee, as well as his continuing threat to call a vote to remove Ilhan Omar from the Foreign Affairs Committee. I'm joined, of course, by my colleagues Eric Swalwell and Ilhan Omar. Let me just begin, if I can, to make a few observations about the decision on the Intelligence Committee and then hand it off to my colleagues. This decision by Kevin McCarthy to bow to the demands of the most extreme elements of his conference and use the Intelligence Committee as this kind of political plaything doesn't show the strength of his speakership. Indeed, it shows the weakness of his speakership.
Okay, I have to disagree.
That speech will get you back on.
Well, this is, again, don't miss, this is the arrogance of this guy. And he's one of the most arrogant people we've
seen.
He
really is.
He makes Trump look humble. Yeah. Adam Schiff is an arrogant.
And doesn't blink.
Right. He is letting us know that to remove them shows how weak you are.
Now, Rick,
not how strong you are.
Keep in mind, we're not talking about removing Democrats from the committee. We're removing these particular people. Other Democrats will fill those seats. Okay.
Yeah.
He is being removed because he lied to the American people about President Trump over and over and over. You're going to see it. I think we got the clip later on where he kept saying, hey, collusion, we got the evidence. I've seen the intel. I mean, he went public saying, I've seen intel that Trump colluded with the Russians. Still, to this day, no one has seen that.
So when we come back, Kevin McCarthy is going to destroy a reporter who tries to question him on why he removed these people. And remember what Bubba just said. Schiff wants you to think, well, I just don't know why I would be removed.
Well, we've got to clear up one of them of many, many that will show why he's removed from 2017.
And then the other one that had, you know, Fang Fang, is, are we going to really stand up?
I don't even know how he's a congressman, honestly.
And look, the things that Omar said, that'll get you taken off a committee, too. Our way back, let's now jump in to Kevin McCarthy. He is questioned by a reporter. You know, Adam Schiff, is it Stallwell? Scott, how you say his name?
Stallwell.
And then Omar standing out there in a turban, and none of them can't understand why they've been removed. Because, I mean, they haven't done anything.
Rick, let's remember, this went back to the previous Congress.
Mm-hmm.
We used to not remove these members like this.
Well, we should.
And they moved. They removed some, and the leadership told them then, what goes around comes around.
Mm-hmm.
And here it is.
So McCarthy is going to be questioned about it, and he handles himself quite well. Here we go.
I'm going to be very clear with you. The Intel Committee is different. You know why? Because what happens in the Intel Committee, you don't know. What happens in the Intel Committee, although the secrets are going on in the world, other members of Congress don't know. What did Adam Schiff do as the chairman of the Intel Committee? What Adam Schiff did, use his power as a chairman and lie to the American public. Even the Inspector General said it. When Devin Nunes put out a memo, he said it was false. When we had a laptop, he used it before an election to be politics and say that it was false and said it was the Russians. When he knew different, when he knew the Intel, if you talk to John Radcliffe, DNI, he came out ahead of time and says there's no intel to prove that, and he used his position as chairman, knowing he has information the rest of America does not, and lied to the American public. When a whistleblower came forward, he said he did not know the individual, even though his staff had met with him and set it up. So no, he does not have a right to sit on that. But I will not be like Democrats and play politics with these, where they removed Republicans from committees and all committees. So yes, he can serve on a committee, but he will not serve on intel, because it goes to the national security of America. And I will always put them first, all right? And if you want to talk about Swalwell, let's talk about Swalwell, because you have not had the briefing that I had. I had the briefing and Nancy Pelosi had the briefing from the FBI. The FBI never came before this Congress to tell the leadership of this Congress that Eric Swalwell had a problem with a Chinese spy until he served on intel. So it wasn't just us who were concerned about it. The FBI was concerned about putting a member of Congress on the intel committee that has the rights to see things that others don't because of his knowledge and relationship with a Chinese spy. They brought it to the works of the leaders. I've got that briefing. So I do not believe he should sit on that committee. And I believe there's 200 other Democrats that can serve on that committee. So this has nothing to do with Santos. Santos is not on the Intel Committee. But you know what? Those voters elected Schiff, even though he lied. Those voters elected Swalwell, even though he lied to the American public, too. So you know what? I'll respect his voters, too, and they'll serve on committees. But they will not serve on a place that has national security relevance because integrity matters to me. That's the answer to your question.
I couldn't. Well, you know, and
that's pretty clear, isn't it?
I'm so glad he communicated it so clearly. Hey, they're gonna. You don't come in here act like I'm like the Democrats, and I'm not gonna let the opposing party serve because they got elected. I will, but these two, because of the things they've done, in briefings that you've never even seen, Mr. or Mrs. Reporter. Mm-hmm. I have. It is so crystal clear that what this particular committee does, they have forfeited the right to be on it by their past behavior.
All right, let's jump. Period. Adler, let's jump down to 2D if we could. And here is part of that evidence.
It's a all you have right now is a circumstantial case.
Actually, no, Chuck. I can tell you that the case is more than that. And I can't go into the particulars, but there is more than circumstantial evidence now. So, again, I think
you have seen direct evidence of collusion.
I don't want to go into specifics, but I will say that there is evidence that is not circumstantial. And is very much worthy of investigation. So that is what we ought to do. Now, again, I think we...
And as McCartney said...
Or McCarthy.
McCarthy, mm-hmm. Yeah. Who was on that committee.
Right.
There was no evidence.
No, he never...
There was no... And to this day, there has been no evidence.
And when you lie about things like this and you never prove them, and when you hang out with Chinese spies, you don't get to be on the Intel committee.
And when you start this process of removing committee members just because you don't like them, okay, without evidence of them not showing that they can handle that position, like what you have here, that's what you're going to get. You got two or three things working against you. So, you know what? There was an old saying, I know we've all heard it, sometimes you got to lie in the bed you made.
Well, and now mm-hmm. Karine Jean-Pierre in 2C, think about everything we've just said, and then when you hear what she says about these three, yeah. it's actually hilarious, and it just shows you that people just say things that have absolutely there's no way to substantiate what she's about to say, because what we know about what they've done, what we just heard, and what McCarthy just said, it's not like we don't know why they're not getting to be on the committee. Okay, or why they've been removed Omar from the other committee. We know why, because of what they've done.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be funny what the press secretary says about them, because I can already hear our one-liners. So here we go.
Any reaction from you from the White House about Speaker McCarthy's decision to keep Representative Schiff and Swaller from the Intelligence Committee?
So I'll say this. Representative Schiff, Representative Swalwell, and also Representative Omar are expertise and bring a lot to the table when it comes to foreign policy and national security. That's and true. We'll say that when it comes to that committee, it should not be politicized. It should be independent, and again, those congressional members bring a lot of expertise to that committee, and I'll leave it there.
You know what it tells you is for now, her such as was bring a lot to the table.
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so.
Stop it just a second. Wait. Listen to the first part of it. Do it again, Adam. Yeah. She doesn't. Did she just say expertise?
Yeah.
She doesn't say they have expertise. She just says expertise.
Out. That's her such as.
Let her start and then bring in Ms. Uh-huh. South Carolina.
Any reaction from you from the White House about Speaker McCarthy's decision to keep Representative Schiff and Swaller from the Intelligence Committee?
So I'll say this. Representative Schiff, Representative Swalwell, and also Representative Omar are expertise and bring a lot to the table.
They are expertise.
Foreign policy and national security. Are expertise and bring a lot to the table when it comes to foreign policy and national security. And we'll say this, when it comes to that committee, it should not be politicized. It should be independent. And again, those congressional members bring a lot of expertise to that committee. And I'll leave it.
Hi, it's Jason Whitlock. Have you secured your spot for Roll Call 2.0, my annual men's summit in Nashville, Tennessee? Are you looking for an opportunity to fellowship with other believers, to come together across the identity lines the left have drawn to divide us? Join me, country music star John Rich, and Blaze founder Glenn Beck in Nashville on Saturday, June 1st for Roll Call 2.0. We're going to listen to great music, eat fantastic barbecue, and hear inspiring speeches from myself, Glenn Beck, North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, Pastor E.W. Jackson, and many more. Let's quit letting the satanic left sift us like wheat. Let's come together as men and talk about the sacrifices we must make to restore the unity and shared values that made our country the envy of the world. Visit FearlessArmyRollCall.com to secure your spot.
I wish someone would ask the press secretary where Dirac is.
You're right.
Dirac.
They are expertise. Yeah, no,
they are expertise.
No, how about this? They do bring a lot of expertise. They did a lot with to our foreign policy. Yeah. And it
to damage our country.
It wasn't really good.
Eric Swalwell is incredibly intimate with the inner workings of what it takes to be an intel
expertise, such as
y'all forget the Chinese spy's name was Fang Fang.
No,
don't forget that every time.
You will not let us forget that.
No, not going to forget it.
Yeah. So you could tell even she as press secretary, she's like, how do I defend these three rubes?
Look, there's Fang Fang now.
Yeah, there she is.
There she is.
Yep. Yep,
just mining for gold,
and no one can. He just Adam Schiff can't believe why they've been thrown off.
Can't believe it.
He pretended to have a collusion that he didn't have, and Swalwell is hanging out with a Russian spy. And when I say spending time, I mean spending time with a Russian spy.
Right.
And Omar hates America, so I don't know what. Why are y'all confused by this? I don't get it.
Should be pretty straightforward,
right? And they just can't believe it. They just don't know why. They are expertise.
Adam Schiff went on every show that would give him. I mean, he was practically a regular on MSNBC every night to tell everybody.
Schiff.
And the other committee members knew he was lying because they were in the same briefing he was in. Well,
sure.
Oh yeah, we got it. It's incredible. Sure. All evidence. Ooh, a lot of
laptop
stuff. I can't really go into it. You know why you couldn't go into it? Because there wasn't any.
Right.
Yeah. You had no details to go into.
So this is speculation. No, it's not speculation. So tell me what you got. Well, I'll just tell you it's not.
Here he is on ABC doing just that if you guys want it.
Yeah, sure. Wow. Yeah, give me in.
But look, I've been very clear over the last year and a half that there is ample evidence of collusion in plain sight.
But look, you can see evidence in plain sight on the issue of collusion, pretty compelling evidence.
Have you seen, do you have direct evidence of collusion with Russia?
Well, I think there is direct evidence. I think it's corrupt and evidence of collusion.
What's your evidence? You've been saying that on TV for years.
Well, I will tell you, and I've also been saying, as you know, that the evidence is in plain sight, not hidden anywhere.
Oh, right.
How about this?
It's in plain sight.
Nobody can find it, though.
Bubba, he has no idea why he was taking off the intel committee.
Yeah.
he has no idea. He said it's politics.
His eyes are brown, too.
Right.
They are.
I tell you who was playing politics. It was you, Schiffy, and you got busted.
Well, you just lied about it.
Right. You lost your speaker, and you can't be protected anymore.
He knew because he was on the intel committee. No one else could come out and really talk about it.
Right.
Because they would be breaking their confidentiality. But he was fine with it.
Oh, sure.
Well, he's...
Because he was making it up.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
Looking at 8, this is one of those things, you know, I have to admit, you ever have certain things in your life that you just don't seem all that drawn to, but you know your personality and you think, but I should be? And for me, it's hockey. I should be a staunch hockey fan, and I'm just not. And I've tried, and I'm like, but today this may be it again, because it is becoming, you know, the bastion of tough dudes, and I should be more. I should love hockey, but I just can't quite make it happen. And I think it's the ice skating. But it's I should be all into hockey.
Oh, yeah.
But here is some footage too. Think about all the we all hate in the big three right now, the flopping. And again, this is another one of these things that soccer
it's
did to our
control.
Country. Nobody flopped before soccer became popular. Now we flop in basketball, we flop in football. Has baseball started flopping yet?
Our society is becoming a flop.
Yeah. Baseball moves so slow, there's no reason to flop. people, when we were playing football, you know, I played a little ball. When we played football, you didn't lay on the field. You got off the field unless
they lay on it now.
Unless an ambulance was needed. You know, you got off the field, and everybody lays out there. And like Greg has said 1,000 times, you'll see them lay there, and you think, oh, my goodness, you know, this person is really hurt. Then all of a sudden they'll get up, walk off the field, and be back in the next play.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you probably shouldn't have been laying out there if you could do that. But hockey still has toughness that I think has left so many other sports. And here's an example. Brock Nelson has taken a blow to the face. And watch him remove his own tooth.
This is crazy.
Yeah, right there
in the mouth.
Ooh. Well,
so he got popped in the mouth, boom, by the stick.
Right there in the mouth, and then, well, what happens when you get a stick in the mouth? That might have knocked the tooth loose, and so what do you do with a loose tooth, Butch?
Well, you pretend you're a dentist, and you pull it out.
Look, he just gets it.
Oh, ouch.
There we go. Hand it off to the trainer. Hand it to the trainer.
No penalty, oh, by the way.
Hand it to the trainer. Get back on the ice.
He just handed it
to the trainer.
The trainer went, okay.
Rick, what's your problem?
Let me get some milk.
Listen, he didn't even hesitate. No. He went straight.
Yeah. Let me get this. Really
he was mad. He was. You Gosh. See what he was saying? He was pretty mad.
If that was a modern day football, basketball, or baseball game, it we'd have shut the whole thing down.
Oh, yeah.
It would have been national news.
My tooth hurt.
Didn't we have a story the other week?
William Nylander.
Sneaky. You know how they'll let them fight? Didn't we have a story that there were two brothers on opposite teams and they squared off and got a big fist fight in the middle of the game?
Oh, gosh, what a great sport. Why am I not giving it more?
Goodness.
I should give it more. I'm going to work on that.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be – I'm already got so many things, you know, the 2023 version of me. It's still early. It's January. I could put this on the list this year.
Yeah, right. List ain't closed.
I don't even know how their season works. They're playing, I guess. Don't they play like –
I don't know when
it feels like they play all the time.
It's a long NBA.
Don't they have a long season?
They do. That NASCAR.
Yeah, right. So somebody help me. Who should I be for? Nashville? Since they're close to us?
Yeah.
The Predators?
Yeah. Yes.
I think they have a big following.
They do.
I've got people that you know that I know that go to the games. I mean,
Helms has been who
else? What other cities have a team?
Tampa's
got one, right? Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and if Pelham. If you I was going to say the Birmingham Bulls at Pelham, they're selling that arena.
I heard.
It's a packed crowd.
Not that big of an arena, but
it's not. But I'm just saying.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's not the BJCC.
Why'd you have to add that in, right?
Yeah, but arena's a bit of a stretch.
Oh, the Pelham.
You remember years ago when they played at the BJCC?
Oh yes,
mm-hmm.
Did
you
know
they had a good crowd?
Yeah, Bob and I did a lot
of
promotions.
The Thrashers.
Atlanta. What is it about me that I can't be for Atlanta teams?
That's why I didn't bring it up originally because I thought that's what you were going to go.
It's the parking.
You're quirky.
You don't like the parking.
Is that what it is?
Yes.
I should be up for all Atlanta teams.
Yeah, I like the Braves, and that's it.
Yeah,
Braves. I kind of like Braves.
Yeah.
Well, we grew up with the Braves.
Yeah. They put me through so much misery though. I couldn't even enjoy their good years.
It's almost just so unbelievable that they are good now. After what we grew up with.
Is it weird to y'all that? And I might be reading this wrong, but they like the Stanley Cup Finals that happens during the month of June. Am I right about
that? So you don't know much about hockey either, do you?
No, I don't know.
This is where we need Chris Wood.
I don't know anything about hockey.
Don't y'all think we should? Don't y'all think we should?
But shouldn't it happen during the wintertime? I feel like it should be like frigid cold January Stanley Cup. Let's do this.
Call your brother, Chris, and ask him.
I think they play a lot of the season because they're playing now during the winter, but you're right. It goes on and on.
It goes to, it looks like it's mid-June is when the finals happen. Yeah. That just feels weird to me.
All right, let me write this down. I've got some things I'm doing in 2023.
Give hockey a little more. I've got you a connection, hockey fan.
For the Predators.
I'm disappointed
Moore
didn't take up
there.
That connection because the offer's been there.
Let me ask you this.
Hand the trainer your tooth and get back on the ice. You got to love that.
I've got a connection with the
That's
Birmingham
football
Bulls.
Used to be.
Yeah.
I got a connection with the Birmingham Bulls if you guys want.
Right.
Yeah. Do you feel like hockey has, and stay with me here, some soccer similarities in you have a net and you're trying to score in the net.
No, y'all hear him out. He's not talking about the violence. He's talking about the offsides and
the offsides of the net.
Well, at least you can go out of bounds. At least there's no out of bounds.
You have a net on either end. Yeah. You score by throwing in the net. You have a goalie on each side. I mean, there's one's on ice, one's on grass.
Offsides,
you
know, goalie, nets.
But the violence is so superior.
And you're using a stick.
Yeah. And you have to hit people with that stick. We just knock somebody's tooth out with a stick. I like that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So I think
a player would be in a neck brace being carried off if that happened.
Yeah. Oh, yes. I mean, we like I say, the other sports, we'd shut the whole thing down. because somebody got hit in the mouth and their tooth's coming out.
And then they have a body double showing up.
Oh, watch out. Rick and Bubba.
The ongoing bizarreness that is COVID-19 and variants and the pandemic and mask and Tom Hanks. I mean, now you just throw all this stuff in there.
Mr. Wilson.
Yeah, whatever. All right, so Bubba, a couple of things coming out today involving all this, and these are things that are being reported by legitimate news sources, and probably good for you to take them and munch on them and put this into how you're trying to work out. Just like somebody who emailed me in the break. They said, Rick, does this mean that hockey is now a sport? You know what I said? Under review. Under review. That's the step I'm taking for 2023. It will now go under review. I will reconsider it. But now
you reconsider it if it's your go-to or if it's a sport.
It's a sport because I've never acknowledged it as a true sport because of the ice skating. Because of the ice skating.
Hey, but that makes it even more of a sport.
But now it's under review.
Okay.
So I will
bring it. I like where you're going.
I will bring
it
back for reconsideration, Hounds. I'm going to reconsider it. I'm not.
Well, but that's ridiculous.
Right.
Anyway.
Well, I mean,
almost borderline unacceptable.
Hey, man, who are you to say? So anyway,
I think we're on record for the NHL being a sport.
Not in my world. I just asked if I consider a sport. So the let's now go to this bizarro thing. Bubba, you give the first one. Where did the pandemic come from? Some, you know, and back to common sense, like Ham's telling me about hockey. You know, the fact that the word virus is on the sign, I go back to that statement again, out of Wuhan, we have an update.
Rick, this is a story that is being published in several publications today. DailyMail.com is the one we're looking at. It says, was COVID caused by a lab leak after all? Bombshell government report says NIH failed to keep tabs on Wuhan research site where U.S. taxpayer-funded grants were used for coronavirus experiment years before pandemic. The report is by the U.S. Office of Inspector General. Okay, not Fox News, not Newsmax, none of that. This is the U.S. Office of Inspector General, who has documented a catalog of NIH errors. That's the National Institute of Health. They looked at three taxpayer-funded grants given to the notorious EcoHealth Alliance. EcoHealth funded coronavirus research in Wuhan and feared to have caused the corona outbreak.
Now, who was reporting that, Bubba?
That is the Inspector General.
So it's not InfoWars. It's not InfoWars.
Right.
Okay. All right.
The NIH was blasted today by an official watchdog for failing to keep tabs on U.S.-sponsored virus experiments in China, which are feared to have caused the COVID crisis. A report by the Inspector General found that the country's medical research agency did not properly review if the test in Wuhan involved dangerous pathogens and pandemic potential. The federal audit looked at three taxpayer-funded research grants awarded to the now notorious EcoHealth Alliance, and all of this was between 2014 and 2021. Now, you can go into it. It's a deep dive, and they lay out all this stuff. But the first time we heard about that, this was at the so-called wet market, and it is less than 8 miles from the Wuhan Institute of Virology.
Is it virology? Is that how we say it, Adler?
Virology.
Virology?
Virology.
Virology?
It's virus and ology put together.
So I just want to get this right. C student from Calhoun County.
It's not virusology, Greg.
So we had a worldwide pandemic come out of a place called Wuhan where the Institute for Virology is there. Virus is on the sign. Back to what John Stewart said, it's on the sign. And it came from there. But let me add another anecdote. Before that, we had some of the people that China finally allowed to come in and give a look at it, and they came back and said, this doesn't look secure.
Yes, it was looked at years ahead of time.
Right.
And, Rick, the story
goes
on.
So we had concerns about the security of these viruses that were – gain of function was going on.
Where at, Rick?
At the Institute, the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Okay,
I'll take it.
Virus is on the sign, 8 miles from where we said it came out of the wet market, but it didn't come from there. It never came from there.
Right.
And we had inspectors that came back said, concerned about how secure this place is. Not secure as it needs to be. But it didn't come from there, no way. And then as we said, the emperor, I know they don't call him an emperor anymore, but he still is. So she or Xi or however you say his name, he walks around the wet market with some mask you could get at Walgreens on. So are we surprised by this report? I mean,
we've been saying this all along.
I know you weren't allowed to say it.
We had people tipping us off on this before the pandemic ever really kicked in that this was exactly what went on. Now, they go on to say in the story, while the lab leak theory was initially dismissed as conspiracy and xenophobic, not only that, you couldn't bring it up. You were taken off social media. Remember, you were censored.
We can't help where it was built.
A growing number of scientists have come around to the idea that the virus may have actually escaped during an accident at the Wuhan Institute of Virology.
Right.
No,
tough
right.
word. It is.
Look, I'm never going to get it right. I'm going to run through it the best I can.
Also, and we are up against the break, I don't know that I need to unpack it anymore, but another headline today, you know, the latest, we have the United States has paid $5 billion for updated vaccines. You know what the CDC is saying about the latest one? Won't protect you.
Project Veritas, these lines, they've also busted wide open Pfizer's gain-of-function research program.
Yep.
Pfizer's own program.
Yep. So we'll touch on a little more of that when we come back.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
Bubba hit the biggie on the way to the break that now, you know, those of you that were called crazies and conspiracy theorists and all this, even though there was some basic logic that went with where this pandemic started and how it started, now people are coming along now and legitimizing what your concerns were from the very beginning, that possibly this Center for Virology could probably be at the center of it, since it is a virus and that's what they do there. And we had inspectors saying they didn't think it was all that secure. You got to kind of probably, of course, immediately, as the progressives always do, xenophobia, xenophobia. Hey, we can't help that it's in China. This has nothing to do with Chinese people. It's where it is. It's this thing that has virus on the sign.
Right.
That plays around with viruses. And this is where it all started. Xenophobia! It's a bat. They eat bats. And if you don't like that, you're xenophobic. So, you know, it's crazies! So now we're realizing, no, crazy is to not even consider that as a possibility. That's actually crazy. And now this ongoing gain of function. Now Pfizer, Adler, you were telling us about that.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
Now we got to Veritas is saying, hey,
yes,
got that video. Right?
Yeah,
we do. Project Veritas. We've seen several of their undercover stories, and it always seems to be they get somebody to think they're on a date, and they get a couple. They get a couple in them, couple drinks in them.
Oh, so it's like The Bachelor.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, all right, I got you.
All right, Eric Swalwell.
And we've seen that.
Have
over
another
and over.
Glass of wine, ladies, and somebody get that mic on.
Right. Roll the camera.
And so this has happened again. You're going to hear Jordan Tristan Walker. He's a Pfizer Director of Research and Development, Strategic Operations, and mRNA Scientific Planning. He works at Pfizer, and he's going to talk about how gain of function research is happening at Pfizer. And gain-of-function research likely started the virus in Wuhan.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
Pfizer ultimately is thinking about mutating COVID?
Well, that is not what we say to the public. No. Don't tell anyone this, Billy. You probably shouldn't tell anyone. We're exploring, you know how the virus keeps mutating?
Yeah.
Well, one of the things we're exploring is, why don't we just mutate it ourselves so we could create unethically developed new vaccines, right? So we have to do that. If we're going to do that, though, there's a risk of, as you could imagine, no one wants to be having a pharma company mutating f***ing viruses. It's be, very controlled to make sure that this virus that you mutate doesn't create something that, goes everywhere.
Something
which
crazy.
But is the way that the virus started in Wuhan. To be honest, it makes no sense if this virus popped out of nowhere.
Yeah, that's what we've been saying.
Yep. We've said that. Yeah. Mm. Makes no sense that it just popped out of nowhere.
Well, get a couple of drinks into him, and here he goes.
I'm glad to see the man with all the degrees and titles agrees with Rick and Bubba.
Yes.
Wow.
Guys.
It's
that's extremely disturbing. on so many levels.
And again,
Project Veritas has uncovered so much, and the mainstream media labels them as wackos, and so no one covers their story. And I hope that Twitter doesn't block something like this. I don't think that they would, but most won't see this.
How did our archive fare yesterday?
We were fine. Okay. Yesterday was okay.
Let me go back to this again.
So, Rick, think about this too, though. Let's remember the bigger picture here.
Mm-hmm.
This type of gain-of-function research, the argument can be made that it needs to be done, okay, to predict where we're going.
Got no problem with that.
But it's so dangerous to do so. And it doesn't matter how many guidelines you have. It always somebody always tracks something out of somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But remember, we used to do this research in the U.S. It was banned. That's why it was sent overseas to China to begin with. Now we have other companies who are doing very similar research in the U.S., but they've kind of changed the name of it so they're not hung under the same guidelines that you are for doing gain of function.
Well, it's becoming more and more evident that really our common sense logic that we all at one time had, and when you talk to what happened is at the beginning, I tell people this example all the time. You know, when you have people that have lied so much, sometimes their ability to stick with a lie makes you start doubting yourself. Mm-hmm. Even when you can see clearly that this can't be true, right. If they stick to it, and then, of course, like they love to do, then demonize you for having another point of view, and suddenly you can be canceled for not agreeing with them. You start thinking, well, maybe I am wrong. Maybe I'm. It's almost like trying to talk to Hunter Biden. You know, you think to yourself, we have all this evidence against you, and he just keeps sticking with the story. And suddenly you're like, well, maybe we don't.
And yeah. See, this,
I mean, it's like
this is my gripe, and I think Rand Paul's gripe with Fauci. Fauci knew this. It was his group that gave the money to the lab. And when all this came out and they had traced it to the general area of the wet market, and like we said, the lab was 8 miles from there, he should have come forward immediately and said, we don't know where this came from. It could have come from a wet market, but we also were doing gain-of-function research mm-hmm. 8 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
There could have been a leak in a lab that when we inspected that lab several years ago, we found their safety precautions to be deficient.
Right.
Why didn't you just say that?
I don't know why we couldn't have that
instead, conversation. Instead, he acted like it didn't exist. And then when Rand Paul got the information, questioned him on it, he still denied it.
Right.
We didn't do that. We didn't do that. You gave the grants to a company who gave it to Wuhan. That was your cover. You had a middleman. Right. You had a bag man to cover you. Just come clean about it. If you did nothing wrong, you have nothing to hide. But you were hiding the details because you didn't want to be questioned about it.
And
it made you look guilty.
And how much?
And it slowed down our response.
That's what I was going to say. And
was even more deadly.
Thank you. We wasted vaccines on people that were not at high risk. We did all kinds of things that we shouldn't have done. We would have known now. See, now we're playing catch-up, which is why this other story that I'm giving you today.
And it's not political. This is not a Trump-Biden, Republican, Democrat. This is science. This mm-hmm. is facts that we had a pandemic that was killing people. And the best way to attack it, to treat it, is to know how it started.
Right.
Because mm-hmm. that way we have a plan.
But
we
became political.
It became political.
And that's what happened.
And Fauci, and you know, we have some people that still think Fauci hung the moon.
Well,
let me tell you, Fauci is culpable in this, and at the very least made a bad decision. He may have broken the law and may need to be prosecuted because of it. He should have come clean about this. He hid it because he was CYA in himself, and it costs lives.
He's a dirty little Fauci.
He's dirty in this. He was protecting his patents.
Dirty Fauci.
And this is not, it doesn't mean you're pro-Trump if you think that. It doesn't mean you're anti-Biden or pro-Biden. This is just the facts of a guy who was handing out money through our tax dollars, by the way, guys. We all paid for this.
Mm-hmm.
NIH, okay, through a third party, over to the Wuhan lab to do dangerous experiments, so dangerous they had been banned in the United States. But guess what? If you create a worldwide pandemic, it'll cross the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
There is no boundary. There is no fence. There is no defense against it. It's coming to get you. And that's exactly what happened. This thing, and we knew early on, was six steps, at least six steps ahead of the natural progression
of where that virus should have been. Somebody moved it ahead artificially. Only way it could have got here. It did not get that way in a bat sandwich at a wet market.
And to that, I repeat it again. Then this.
I love y'all. I'm just telling you the truth.
This is from the CDC. Majority of Americans vaccinated with the BIVALENT. That's one of the latest boosters. I don't know how you say that. COVID shot are not protected against falling ill. CDC has a new report on the XBB.1.5 variant. Despite, back to Bubba's point about being your money, the U.S. paying $5 billion for updated vaccines, the CDC says over half the people that we gave this to caught it anyway. And now they're changing their tune, which is what we were saying in the beginning. Suddenly we were told this would stop and all these things would stop you from getting ill. Their whole presentation has changed now. Now, we never said that. It'll just keep you from getting real sick. Now, of course, I can't prove that either. But
it's like a flu shot.
Yeah. So just know that this latest, the CDC has looked at it, and over half the people they gave it to caught the variant anyway. $5 billion.
Guys, we got to do a better job. We got to do a better job and move beyond politics on this. There is science out there, and it takes time. That's the problem.
Yep. 14 minutes to the top.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
Bubba, here's you remember we were talking about, and people were calling in asking us, are there things you can do to try to enjoy some of these movies that have a good story or good actors in it, but I just don't want the yuck fest, and I don't want all the garbage. And, you know, we talked about some of the filtering systems that are available. But Adler has a video that says that AI can also be maybe a tool to change, and we have some examples of how it works. Is that what it is?
Yes, exactly. So in 2022, a low-ish budget movie called Fall was coming to theaters, and during the filming of it, the actress tended to use more cuss words than probably they should have. So in the editing room, they're trying to get the cuss words down so they can get to a PG-13 rating.
Right.
So that Lionsgate can make more money on this film. They didn't have the budget to reshoot things. They didn't have the time to reshoot things either. So they hired this company that has an AI program that can kind of analyze the actress's face and completely change the take.
Wow.
Completely change what happens on film. And now they're using this to not only get rid of cuss words, they're using it to change the entire language of it. So this clip does have a bleeped cuss word in it, but then you're going to hear the other versions of it. So
we're going to see it in action.
Yes, you're going to see it in action. So this is the original.
Now we're stuck on this stupid f-ing tower in the middle of f-ing nowhere.
And now
I don't blame you, and now we're stuck on this stupid...
And so then it just totally removed the dialogue, and it just looks like she's struggling for words. It scans her face.
Wow.
Uses that model.
Changes her face.
To totally just, now it just looks like she's struggling for words. Huh. So that's one example. Here it is just totally changing the word.
Stuck on this stupid freaking tower in the middle of freaking nowhere. And it's all my fault.
Que pensé estar yo en eso, que tan ellos. Y es todo por mi culpa.
So that was Japanese and then Spanish.
Wow.
So
it actually changes Spanish. It changes their face to actually coincide with that language.
That's the part, because before, you know, you'd be speaking their own language, you'd have to do subtitles, and our people would just be doing their language. It didn't fit the face. Now it looks like they can actually speak the language.
Wow. Let me ask you this. What is the name of this movie?
Fall.
Have you seen it, Rick, previews?
I haven't.
These girls are stuck on top of a tower and can't get down.
Stupid tower.
And
stuck on this stupid freaking tower in the middle of freaking nowhere.
And Rick, it is one of those deep fears, because I used to climb towers of getting up there and can't get back down. And when I saw this, I thought, that is awful.
That is a deep fear.
So they go up on the tower to spread this woman's late husband's ashes, and then the ladder breaks, and then they're stuck on top of the tower.
Wow.
So that's the story.
It's up there. You'll see it. It's scary.
She's really intense about it.
Well, can't somebody come get you in a helicopter or something? Do you have a cell phone?
I guess they dropped their phones
and purses.
Sure,
of course.
Sure.
I'm just going to say.
Maybe that easy.
Probably can't find it.
No. It's a movie, Rick.
But what if that was a movie? They called and they picked him up. And
you're up there, and you know it. Being on top of a tower, there's some movement in that. And,
oh yeah.
And then you have to deal with weather issues, the wind that you don't have to deal with on the ground. It's a scary deal.
So we have another video.
Would you rather be stuck up on heights or like floating in the ocean?
Heights.
Heights all day long.
All day. I ain't going to be out in the middle of that ocean.
I don't want to be out there.
I'm stuck on a tower
that's fine.
You could floating in the ocean.
I don't have a problem. I can stay up on that tower.
You could fall off the tower, and there's certainly some weather issues, but there are no such thing as tower sharks.
No. And the way people who have float out there for a long time, what they have to go through, it just looks awful.
I did read that the women that are stuck on top of this tower in the movie, they do have to deal with a vulture attack. So there's that.
Or are you? Am I?
I'm not messing around.
Oh, I thought you were kidding.
I'm not messing.
Like
around.
A nest is up there or something.
I don't know. It does seem like a kind of a weak movie.
Is it possible to see the trailer for this?
I'll try.
Bubba.
Well, I'm just saying, can we see the trailer?
We got 1 minute.
Ain't no freaking way.
Well, we'll try to find it. Maybe look at it after.
I'll just put it on the TV behind you guys if y'all want to talk about it or something.
Hey, okay. Look at me.
Let's see. Advertisement. Okay, there we go.
All right. Ooh, there's a big mountain.
Let's see this.
So these girls are climbers. They're like rock climbers.
Well, that's not a tower.
Oh, this is with a husband dying, I bet. Okay, yeah, there you go.
What got it?
Looks like a bird.
Grip slipped or something?
What came out of there?
Down startled.
What came out of there?
I don't like stuff like this.
I'd
be a nervous wreck.
So she's got her remains. She wants to take the remains at the top.
There's Negan.
Yeah. Oh, that is Negan.
It is.
Who's Negan?
Don't give him a baseball bat. I'll tell you that. So they're going to climb this 2,000-foot tower.
It's a TV tower.
Oh, that was not wise. It's very rusty looking.
I wish you'd put it in Spanish.
Let's do it. Let's climb your stupid tower.
And I don't know if this is a clean trailer, so I'm going to leave it at that.
It was a little suggestive there, wasn't it?
What about when you're the people that saying, let's go up there, and now you get everybody stuck?
Yeah, that ain't good.
That's not good at all.
That's not good.
Yeah, I don't, but I
look how rusty it is. What are they thinking?
We shouldn't be on that rusty tower.
How much you climb that tower, Greg? How much?
Oh, I climb it.
How much?
$500.
$500?
He's done it.
He climbed it a minute. All right, if you're leaving,
look at him going up.
Hey, if you don't have the live show today, find a way to at least get the archive later today because we're talking to Tim Tebow next. Top of the hour. Rick and Bubba. Speedy, the real Greg Burgess, Helmsy, and Adler all make up team Rick and Bubba, and we welcome back Bill Bubba Bussy.
Hey, Rick, everybody. Glad to be here. Yeah, remember, we only ask for 5 hours each and every day. Doesn't seem
that's
like it's too much.
All
to
we need. Bubba, we are excited to bring back a new friend, Tim Tebow. Tebow, welcome back to Rick and Bubba. Let's go, Tim.
I can't believe that y'all actually are having me back. It's just, honestly, it's special. It's humbling. But I just didn't really expect it. So, you know, it's just good to see the whole crew back together.
If you think it's shocking that we wanted you back, not near as shocking as you agreed.
Yes. Yeah. We're more shocked.
So you got a lot going on. And
a nice logo behind him.
Yeah, that looks really good, man. You're doing really good. We're all learning how to do all this new stuff now, aren't we?
Look. Hey, first of all, calm down. I see the Rick and Bubba everywhere. So y'all have 19 of them behind you guys right now. I can literally count 7 different Rick
marketing.
And Bubba signs.
It's marketing, Tim. You know this. All right, so on Tuesday, March the 14th at the Wright Center, which is a great room at Samford University, they're hosting an evening with Tim Tebow, and you're going to be sharing insights from the book Mission Impossible, because this is their author series. So let's talk about that for a minute. Obviously, they can come and hear, and you'll be walking through that. But for the rest of the country that may not be able to get there, this book Mission Impossible, tell us what was the inspiration behind it. What do you hope that it accomplishes?
Well, actually, it's called Mission Possible.
I'm sorry, Mission.
No problem.
Rick,
at all.
I started to say,
to start because I named it that for a reason, because I believe every single one of us, we have been given a mission. You know, mission just means a task or a job someone has been given to do. Some people could call it purpose. Some people could say it's a calling. I love using the word mission because it feels active, and I think we need to be active in our calling, in our purpose. And possible just means to be able. And we need to be reminded that we are able to live out our purpose, live out our calling, live out our mission every single day. And really, Mission Possible is all about understanding your mission, your calling, about living it out, about finding your mission, about pursuing your passions and your purposes, and then ultimately with that, going to create a life that counts. And I think right now, with everything that is being thrown at young people, you know, purpose falls really low on the list, and purpose should be really high on the list. Why were you created? What are you created to do? And how can you go live that out? And so I'm super excited about this author series, about being able to raise funds for young people and scholarships, but then also be able to share about that we all have a mission, that it is possible, that we get the chance to go live it out, that we're all one of one, created in love, by love, and for love. And there's a unique plan and purpose for our life to be able to go out the mission that God has set for us before we are ever born, for us to go live out. And it's not just about us. It's also about the lives that we get to impact in the process. And so that's why I'm excited about sharing it.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Mission Impossible is a book I'm writing about Bubba and I losing weight and keeping it off.
Yeah. you know, when you said that, I thought, I think that title's been used already.
Yeah, it has. Yeah. But you said something really important. I had someone even say to me here in the last year, they said, you know, you guys just finished 29 years of doing the show. You know, do you still love it as much as you did in the beginning? And what you said, Tim, is exactly right. I said, I actually think I love it more because I finally, through my sanctification and growing spiritually, and getting a little older and a little wiser, I said, I wish I would have figured this out sooner, to your point of the book, to these young people. I said, there's nothing quite as peaceful as understanding why you're here and what you've been called to do. I understand why I do this now, which is why I enjoy it more.
Absolutely. And I think when you find your purpose, then you also have passion in it, and you will love it more and more. And that doesn't always mean it'll be easy, and it doesn't mean that you will even always like pieces of it, because sometimes life can be really hard, but you can find joy and fulfillment even in the midst of it. And that's why I think, you know, it's worth us pursuing our purpose, pursuing our mission, rather than just sometimes pursuing comfort and feel and ease. And I do feel like that is something that is thrown out all the time to young people, is, you know, pursue comfort, pursue your feelings. And I say, no, no, pursue your calling, pursue your passion, because if you want to be fulfilled, then you're going to go after that. If you want ease, then, you know, and you want, you know, comfort. But this book, I try to challenge people, is one, challenge the mindset, two, challenge with encouragement of let's live by our convictions over our emotions, because our emotions are going to tell you, you know, listen, as an athlete, you don't want to get up and train at 5-6 in the morning. You don't want to have 2-a-days. You don't feel like it. But what do? You know that you want to be the best that you can be. You know that you want to have a chance to win a championship or get a scholarship or go to the next level. So you choose your convictions in that moment to get up and train and blood, sweat, and tears, to play hurt, to play dirty, to play broken. And you do that not because you feel like it. You do that because you live by your convictions. Well, in the same way, why don't we do that in life? Because that's way more important than a game will ever be. Of, you know what, hey, I don't have time to get in God's word, or I don't have time to help other people because my job, I don't have time to go serve, I don't have time to be a part of our church, I don't have time to, well, why? Like, if there's anything that we're going to live by our convictions, it is, it's in, you know, knowing and loving Jesus and helping people. And let's work together and encourage one another to sometimes put our feelings to the side so we can live with our convictions in our purpose, in our calling, and in our living out our passions that God has given us for the kingdom and for other people.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Somebody
say
amen. I
wish Tim would get him a cup of coffee and get woke up.
Night.
You know?
Well,
he's fired up.
But you're right. I mean, you know, we do a lot of men's ministry, and as you know, Tim, and you do too. And, you know, when just, and I say this about myself, because I got to start with us first. And as you said, when I get up every day and I'm praying, I pray against the biggest enemy I've got, and that's myself.
Yeah.
So, because there's so many things that self says, we don't want to do that today, man.
That's
right. And you hit on that, which I love. It can't be emotional. It's got to be conviction.
And myself's got a big voice.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But one of the things is, and it's so true, I will go as far as to say, Tim, and I know that you cover this a little bit in the book, I'll go as far as to say we already are experts and we already do devote time and energy to the things we really love. I think there's some things we claim to love, but if you watched our actions, you couldn't really solidify that. Mm-hmm. And men have come to me and said, how can I know Scripture more? How can I be more mature in my faith? And I said, I was a spiritual infant for far too long. And I said, you know when it changed? When I realized I would apply the same principles to my pursuit of biblical knowledge that I applied to everything else I became an expert on. It's not that we don't have the ability to learn. It's just the things that we're knowledgeable about are the things we put the time and the effort into it. So if I really cared about that, I would have the same approach to it. And magically, or not the word magically, but truthfully, you end up being an expert on that, just like you're an expert on deer hunting, you're an expert on football, you're an expert on golf, absolutely, you're an expert on your hobby, expert on your career. How did you become an expert on those things? Well, just take those same principles and apply it to your spiritual life.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I would say for me, you know, one big conviction for me is that I have spent more time, energy, effort on trying to win games in my life, trying to win championships in my life than I have probably to help hurting people, probably than to share the Great Commission. And I don't want to say that at the end of my life. And that's right. Why every day when I wake up, I want to more and more run after what God has called me to do. And that's to fight for people that can't fight for themselves, to help the abused, the thrown away, the raped, the forgotten, the beaten, those that are being trafficked all around the world, those that are being forgotten, thrown away. Like, I hope at the end of my life, I can't say that the biggest things that I sacrificed for was a game. I want to be able to say, and hopefully one day, maybe I can honestly say it, that I've spent more time, energy, effort, focus, and endurance in trying to fight and stand for the cause of Christ than I did for a game.
Amen. Amen. All right, we'll come back. If you want to get tickets to this, we got it in show notes there at rickandbubba.com, but you can go to tickets.samford.edu. It'll be March 14th, 7 p.m. at the Wright Center. Be in the room. Here, Tim, as part of this author series, talk about Mission Possible.
He might throw you a pass. You never know.
I mean, you can be there. And hear this in greater detail. We got something else we'll tell you about next. Rick and Bubba. Tim Tebow, kind enough to take time to hang out with us today. So we've talked about the March 14th. We talked about the new book, Mission Possible, and define your mission, pursue your purpose, create a life that counts. Loved all that, fired up and ready. But now let's talk about the Tim Tebow Foundation, because you mentioned that at the end of your life, you wanted to be more than trying to win ball games. Well, this is certainly a place where you have applied that truth to your life, using your name to do so many things for people that, you know, that are out there. They're wonderful human beings, and they maybe need a little help in their life, like, you know, we all do to some degree. It's a night to shine celebration 2023 with the Tim Tebow Foundation. And Tim, because of modern technology, and we've learned so much how to use it, people can actually attend virtually or find a location near them to be part of a night to shine, really, no matter where they are, right?
Yeah, so Night to Shine is one of our 16 initiatives, and it's actually how me and my wife met. And Night to Shine, what it is, it's a worldwide prom for people with special needs. And right. We're so fortunate that God has opened so many doors, and it's around the country. And this year, it'll be in 46 countries, over 600 locations. And then also those that won't be able to get to a location can also watch and be a part of it virtually, because we want every single man, woman, boy, or girl to know that they're loved, know that they have great value, know that they're a VIP. That means very important. And why every single Night to Shine has red carpets is because in our society, red carpet signifies VIP. And we want every single one of them to know that. And over 100,000 kings and queens that will be at Night to Shine, every one of them will be crowned as the king or the queen of the prom. And we tell them that's because that's how much we love them. But more importantly than that, that's how much God loves them. That's how God sees them every single day of their life. So if your viewers want to be a part of it, sign up, go be a part of the one in your local area, cheer on the red carpet. I promise it'll do more for you than you're going to do for them. And we want you to be a part of it to help every single king and queen, but it's going to also impact your life. And if you want to bring someone that, you know, you're hoping to be able to open doors to talk to. Oh my gosh, it's an incredible way to be able to serve with them, to be a buddy, to cheer on a red carpet, to crown, to do hair and makeup, to be able to shine shoes. That's one of my job at most of them, is I'm just down there shining the shoes, and I've gotten a lot better throughout the years in shining shoes. So it's an incredible night where we're just so grateful. God has let it go throughout the world, and we just can't wait for February 10th.
February 10th will be the date. That's my anniversary, so I won't forget that. I will have been married 27 years.
It's a good place to go on a date.
There you go. Perfect.
Great place to go on a date.
Perfect. I love that.
And so, Tim, you've been married, what, 3 going on 4 years now?
Three years. Our anniversary was on the 20th, so we just celebrated 3 years.
Well, do you have any big life lessons you've learned so far being a husband?
I think some of the best ones I've learned is that even though she's my wife, she's still my girlfriend, and we want to keep dating every week, every day.
So now,
good advice.
Yeah, I know that you, of course, spend a lot of time working, and she does too. But how are y'all balancing time together? But it's sometimes, you know, I remember during the pandemic, my wife said to me, you know, I miss missing you. How do y'all?
Or the classic, isn't it time you get a hobby?
Right.
Yeah.
So how's that?
Well, I think we both stay very busy, but I think one of the things that is really special is that we have very similar purposes, and we don't actually have a lot in common, but we have a lot in purpose. And we will leave in you know, just a couple of days to head overseas for several weeks to be able to serve together. We'll be in our safe homes. We'll be at our hospitals. We'll be ministering and visiting and sharing the gospel and loving people. And I'll tell you what, it's hard to fall more in love with someone than when you see them with kids wrapped all over them, and the way that she loves and cares for people, especially those that can't do anything for her. Listen, you know, there are a lot of people that wanted to come up and talk with her when she was Miss Universe, but she treats every single kid the exact same of when she was meeting with any form of princess or, you know, dignitary. And I mean, it's just one of the things I love about her. And so having those things in purpose, I think, is one of the most special things that we have.
Tim, I know that you have some animals, you have some pets. One of the things we always run into, and Rick loves to talk about this, when we're getting ready to go somewhere, what about the dogs?
Yeah, what about the
dogs? What about the dogs? How do you guys handle all that? Because you do travel a lot.
We do travel a lot. Well, a good thing is they have a whole bunch of aunts that love them like crazy and friends of ours that love them like crazy and will stay at our house with them. And so they don't have to change their routine. Everybody else changes. Okay. That's how much we love our dogs, and we spoil them like crazy. And yes, that's, we miss them so much when we're gone, but we do love them like crazy, and we spoil them so much.
You know, the thing about a dog, and I've always appreciated this, you can go out of the room and walk back in, or you can be gone for a week. They greet you the same way, like they haven't seen you in 100 years. You know, they're just so glad to see you.
Absolutely.
That's actually how I feel every time I get to see you guys.
Tim, we don't have...
Just not with as much slobber, though.
Yeah, yeah. We don't have but about...
It depends on how hungry I am.
Right. We don't have a ton of time left, but about a minute and a half on the least important thing we've talked about today, college football. And that's where it should be. We enjoy it, but it's not as important as the things we just talked about. But what about the state of college football? You're still working a lot there, obviously. Are we in a good place right now as far as football? Are there some things that concern you?
I think there's a lot of great things. There's a lot of excitement. There's a lot of buzz. I think there's a lot of excitement for the 12-team college football playoff. That's something exciting. I think the home and homes with that are going to be awesome. I think there's a lot of great games and that people are excited about to start next year. You know, I thought y'all were going to talk about, you know, not our three puppies, but I thought when y'all brought up dogs, y'all were going to be talking about the Georgia Bulldogs and their dominance over the last couple of years. And that's where I thought you were going with it.
Kirby learned well,
didn't
he?
They have been dominant. So I still think college football is in a great place because it's something that so many people love. I do think there's some things that are in flux that, you know, are going to take a lot of work to continue to just smooth out a little bit. But man, there's so many people that love it and are die hard about it. And I hope it keeps the same passion that it's had. And I believe it will.
Tim, thanks for being with us. Two things. March 14th, Wright Center, Samford University, an evening with Tim Tebow as he talks about his new book, Mission Possible. And then February the 10th, a Night to Shine celebration 2023. And you can participate from anywhere in the world by going to timtebowfoundation.org for the tickets to Samford, tickets.samford.edu. Or go to both of these simply by going to rickandbubba.com. And looking at show notes. Tim Tebow, thanks for taking time to be
with
us.
Thanks, Tim.
Hey, appreciate you guys. Thanks for what you stand for and making people laugh and have a lot of fun, but also pointing them to the truth. Appreciate it, guys.
Thank
God
you,
bless
man.
You guys.
Thank you, brother. We'll be right back. Bottom of the hour. More Rick and Bubba coming up right after this.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
Let's go to Deborah in Alabama. Deborah, go ahead.
Yes, I want to know what's going on in our skies. Is it modified weather? Is it natural? Lyndon B. Johnson said it himself. He who owns the weather owns the world.
Can I back up here? Are we in a troll? I forgot.
Yes, we are. Okay. If you want to spend a time out here, you can.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead throughout and do
our,
that.
Throughout our years, anytime a caller's question is what's going on with the sky, we can put the brakes on.
Can I go back to that question? What are you referring to?
Well, what about the modified weather, you know, the weather patterns, what they call chemtrails?
Well, chemtrails.
I saw that coming. I saw that train.
Are mostly steam.
What about cloud cover?
Well, we have cloud cover all the time. That's part of weather.
We don't have sunny days anymore. Why don't we have sunny days anymore?
We do.
You don't have a sock in your mouth, too?
Hey, Deborah, I have to tell you this. You don't have as many sunny days. Look, hey, Deborah, your ear's not working. I'm talking.
Deborah, can I?
My turn.
Can I ask you this, Deborah?
You ask a question. I'm trying to give you an answer for it.
Deborah, are you in a place that you get phone privileges?
Rick.
And she hung up. Okay.
You don't have as many sunny days in January.
Does anybody know that you have the phone? The sun was out. We had some beautiful cobalt blue days just in the last couple weeks.
Yesterday afternoon.
I like how you went and looked, Rick.
Yeah. According to David Muir on the news, I mean, there's people in his path every night. I hear about this storm that everybody's in the path.
Well, I know this
millions in his path. Well, yeah, it's a weather front.
Yeah, we have 300 plus, maybe 350 million that live in the United States and North America, and we're in the middle of the winter season, and that means it's going to rain probably every 2 to 3 days. It's going to be cloudy, limited number of sunny
snowing
days.
Snowing up north.
But trust me, we're going to get to May, June. We'll have all the sun we want.
Look out there right now. The sun is shining. Yeah.
Chemtrails are mostly steam from jet engines. They're not actually
not
chemicals.
Here we go.
I'm sorry it is.
Here we go.
There's enough things to worry about.
Right.
I don't know that anybody has learned to modify the weather yet. Mm-hmm. If they have, they would already be letting us know about it so they could make money on it.
Yeah. We
Bubba's not talking about like cloud seeding, which we know that they do. But
yeah, that's something that they have experimented with. They've had limited success with it, but it's not something that we do every day because it's not predictable enough.
Right. Guess it'd be a good transition to the Jane Fonda story.
You know, too, we had this drought. Remember out west? You remember Lake Mead, how low it was and all that? Mm-hmm. And now they're having record amounts of rain.
Yeah.
So it kind of all evens out.
Well, if I can modify the weather, I probably noticed I didn't have enough water over there.
Well, if I could modify the weather, I would have it 70 and sunny every day, except maybe once a week.
You going to take that sock out of your mouth like the rest of the people?
Is that what you said?
I think that's what you said.
Wow.
Bless your heart.
Right. So.
What about the skies?
Phone privileges.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
Bubba, I mentioned it after Deborah called us and said that we are part of the conspiracy that is hiding from the world what's going on with the skies.
Aha.
And anyway, since we no longer have sunny days, and we wanted to talk to her more, but either her phone privileges had run out or she hung up. I wasn't sure.
Well, she didn't want to be traced, probably.
Right. But anyway, I don't know if you've seen the trailer for this movie, 80 for Brady.
Yes.
And it's got Lily Tomlin,
loosely based on a true story.
Rita, is it Marino? How you say that?
Yeah, from Electric. From the Electric.
Hey, you guys.
Yeah, and Sally Field. So, and like all my life, all my life, I've called her Sally Fields. I added an S like Bubba. I didn't know it was singular.
Smoking the bandit.
But anyway, Jane Fonda. This is giving Jane Fonda the microphone again.
Oh Lord!
Unfortunately, and
yeah,
so
I read her thing. She's still squirrely, ain't she?
Yes, she is.
I thought at one time that she was kind of drifting back to normal, but she's still way out there, ain't she?
She's 85 years old. And she was on the Kelly Clarkson show, which I bet that is full of energy. Mm-hmm. And she blamed the climate crisis. First of all, she's acknowledging, I guess, there is one. That there is a, you know, because everything's a crisis. You know?
Yeah. Everything.
Like this running thing that you and Greg have, Bubba, because y'all draft on a few things where y'all like watching the big three evening news just to hear them.
Oh, every, just the opening monologue.
Yeah, on ABC every night. It is a life and death disaster.
Breaking
about
news.
To happen.
We're dying every night. There's another crisis.
Millions in his path.
You realize that if you keep
a winter storm in the middle of winter,
millions may experience winter weather in the winter.
And there's 350 million in our country where it's winter.
But yeah. but here we come. Jane Fonda, now 85, blamed the climate crisis, wait for it, on racism.
I don't get that.
No, Hems.
You're going to have to tie that. You're going to have to give me some info.
I need her to walk that out a little further.
Right. Well, here's what she said.
You can't just say stuff.
No.
Now, I don't know how she's tying this either, and this is one of Bubba's favorites. I hate to even bring this up because Bubba's, you know, in a fun zone today. And
yeah, I've been in a good mood
keep
all day,
you
don't
there.
You think?
For me, chipper. Here it comes. Oh, I dread this.
I knew kolaches were out there.
Oh. For me, it was learning about the Vietnam War.
Oh yeah, remember Hanoi Jane?
Stop it!
I know I shouldn't have brought this up. Mm-hmm.
And we got it for you too, behind you,
posing
really.
With an anti-aircraft.
Bubba's complexion weapon. Just changed.
And when I really understood what that was about, I couldn't not do anything except to try to join the movement to stop it.
I can't. What does she mean when she found out what it was about?
I guess about being an activist, and she wants to be an activist and point.
Was it about the communist regime trying to kill people and take over the whole country? Yeah. Did she follow?
Do you
want
to watch her say it, Rick?
Look, our defense posture was to block the spread of communism in Korea, in Vietnam, everywhere we could, in Germany.
Right.
And we knew eventually that they would burn themselves
Just
out.
Just say Kolache.
Kolache.
And settle.
Kolache.
I didn't know you. I thought you were talking about Vietnam. We have her.
We have her. Yeah.
Yeah, we got the clip
on this.
Right here, Rick.
Yes, sir.
So listen to what she's about to say, and I think it's the quote I was about to read.
Yeah,
listen,
okay. Shelly's a Cowboys fan.
She is.
Well, you know.
Disappointed like everybody.
You can take anything, sexism, racism, misogyny, homophobia, whatever, the war, and if you really get into it and study it and learn about it and the history of it and the... Everything's connected. There'd be no climate crisis if it wasn't for racism.
How do you get to that? Tell me.
Yeah. Where would they put Where would they put the poison and the pollution? They're not going to put it in Bel Air. They've got to find some place where poor people or indigenous people or people of color are living. Put it there. They can't fight back. And that's why a big part of the climate movement now has to do with climate justice. You know, the first...
Yay, Jane!
Give us an example.
Yay!
We're as uninformed as you are. Yay!
Look.
I don't get that.
World.
We're uninformed as you are. Yay!
Listen, Jane, for singing for us!
I heard Jane.
Thank you, Jane.
She made
You're
a claim.
Celebrity, so you must be right.
She made a claim that we have a climate crisis because of racism. And then her example was we dump waste in poor people's area.
Mm-hmm.
That there's no connection. That's not an answer to that question.
No, it's not. It has nothing to do with climate.
It doesn't have anything to do with climate.
But we're still climbing. Now, is it possible in areas where we have waste that the property values are less there and people with less money are more likely to buy property there? Yes. Okay. And I'm not saying that's fair or it's just open market on the sea. Has nothing to do with climate. Nothing. She still didn't answer.
Yeah. I heard her interview, it was probably a year or so ago, and I think I brought this up. She's one of these people that throws numbers out and don't have to back them up. She claimed, and I don't have the numbers, there were so many millions of less birds now than they were, I don't know how many years ago. So, I mean, just made that statement. Everybody was, again, who counted birds and who recounted it to determine that we, at this time, imagine trying to count all the birds. She didn't say like the birds in Alabama. She said in the world.
Mm-hmm. Now, are we talking about birds that are real, or are we talking about birds that are like surveillance drones all across the planet?
That's a whole nother deal. But
no
what I'm
birds.
Saying is, you just you throw
you,
stuff
Jane.
Like that
Love
out
you,
there.
Love you, Jane.
Jane.
Love you, Jane.
Who counted the birds?
Who counted the birds?
Imagine if that was your job, have to count all the birds
Why?
In the world. First of all, I'm not going to be very accurate. No. There's no way I can keep up.
Hey,
with
did you count that one right there?
I think I've already counted him.
You're an actress.
But
you
she
must
said
be
that.
Brilliant.
It's
hard
so
to count
many less
crows.
Birds now than they were then that, because it, of, I thought.
It's hard to count crows because they all do resemble.
They do.
It is. It's
and they pile
up
on top of
which
you.
Ones you've counted,
right.
Which ones you
haven't. Right, yeah.
And Jane, you know, it's okay to age. You don't have to keep.
Yeah. I mean, look, your workout deal, we know you worked out, and that's right. Fine. But
what about
face
the,
now,
what
you,
about
you,
the waste from plastic surgery? There's a lot of plastic and
gosh.
A lot of things
it
taken
is.
Out
Fossil
there.
Fossil fuels were used
yeah,
in that.
I know it. What about that?
We love you, Jane!
I'm sure she flew to get to the Kelly Clarkson show.
Yeah. Probably did.
Yeah. Probably did. Her probably carbon did. Footprint is outlandish.
Sure.
But she's... important.
Still,
maybe she can get some of that plant
I'm
fuel
still
that
curious
Gates was talking about.
How racism created a climate.
Because it didn't, Bubba.
And the reason why you're curious. Climate justice.
It's all connected,
and,
Bubba.
I mean,
you look at it.
Yeah, it's
if you'll study it, Bubba.
It's
you got to study it.
It's called
so she
string theory.
It while making movies.
It's called string theory. The whole universe is connected, Jay.
Yeah.
Jay. We don't have time for it today, but there's a clip that on our list that this environmentalist is showing how it's really not fair that these climate activists are now saying all the Western world has gotten where it is because of fossil fuels, but now we need to stop the fossil fuels, and these developing countries are getting put... You see, that's racism
it's
right there.
It's like using a ladder to get into the treehouse and then pulling the ladder up.
Yeah, it's amazing.
That's a great point, guys. Thank you, Jay.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
Thanks for listening to the Daily Best of Rick and Bubba. To catch the entire show and for all things Rick and Bubba, go to rickandbubba.com, spell out AIM.
Lord willing, we will catch you on the next edition of the Rick and Bubba Show.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.